I'm a park ranger and I dig danger, dream of it night and day. And God,
welcome back. That's right, Kitty's time for our former, no longer with, retired park superintendent of Algonquin Park. He now is the producer of this wonderful program. His name is Jonathan Winters. We call him J-Dub, among other things. When he's around, we call him J-Dub.
That sounds like a DJ name.
J-Dub.
J-Dub. How you doing, Johnny?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. See, that's why we call him
this morning. You were pretty dismissive about what Schlorf and I can do for your program, but now that you've got the tech difficulties, start
kissing up. How did you like that piece of tap dancing for 20 minutes?
Like nobody could tell, right? I don't think you hit your finest hour, let me tell you that.
No, oh, I hear you loud and clear. I just had a wonderful phone call while we were off the air from our good friend Michael Tibolo, depending on what part of Italy you're from. I pronounce it differently the most. But anyways, former tourism minister. He's driving around this morning listening to the radio program. He just wanted to call in and say how wonderful it was going. See?
I bet you that's what you were thinking. He probably volunteered to become a guest. If you need a guest, Angelo, come on. That's probably what he told you.
It was a pity call, I have to admit. No, he was telling me about his travels lately, how he's been going all over the place talking to folks about mental health, because that's what he's in charge of now, and mental health and addictions. And he was telling me about his travels around this province and how wonderful it is. Nobody gets me more excited than Michael when he calls in and when we talk on the phone and when he's on the program. He is so genuinely, like, I've never met a gentleman or a person, period, more genuine and honest than he is when he starts talking about his feelings and emotions. It's fantastic. I love it. It's like, for me, it's like therapy. You know what I mean? And God only knows I can use that.
I was beaten to the punch on that one.
Yeah, well, you're slow. What can I tell you? You're old. Yeah, what do you got for us today, my friend?
Well, it's interesting around here. Everybody is gearing up for the deer hunt. And it basically, the world comes to a screeching halt in this part. And that's because it's a tradition, history. It's a very popular sport, and it's huge for the Ontario economy. It really is. And I understand that in Ontario, we have about 160,000 deer hunters. And that's big. And that does not include international hunters. I don't think it's broken down by species hunted. But we've got 10,000 international hunters that come to Canada every year to hunt elk, moose, deer, black bear. So it's big business. Doesn't really get much attention south of the Mason-Dixon line, which is probably Highway 9 in Ontario. Not a big deal down there. It's a big deal up here.
Yeah, and I think the only attention it gets down here, quite honestly, are people who are so quick to poo-poo it and get on the bandwagon, right? And they don't realize there's so many parts of that heritage we call hunting that they absolutely have no connection to. And it's pretty easy to hold a placard up at a protest when you really don't have any interest in that particular subject. And that's the unfortunate part. Hunters are, in my opinion, directly responsible for most of the wonderful wild spaces that we have in this country, in this province for sure, but in this country as well, because they're the greatest conservationists on the planet. And people don't realize that.
Well, there's another aspect to this too, and it goes to management in a sustainable way of wildlife populations. Right. And in Canada and United States, we have 15 million white-tailed deer. 15 million. So we aren't short of white-tailed deer. We also have 1.2 million vehicle collisions every year with deer, with huge amount of damage, and sometimes fatalities. So it's a complex world we live in. We're living with wildlife, and wildlife are living with us, and there's no problem with a sustainable harvest and hunt of John, deer. That's how I look at it.
Has anybody ever, and I'm sure they have, has anybody ever done the studies and research, the number of deer that are lost each year due to highway fatalities versus hunters? Is it close?
I don't know what the overall harvest of deer is in North America, but to compete with vehicle collisions, virtually every one of those, 1.2 million, that deer will die. There aren't going to be very many of them that will survive it. And that's the reported ones. Believe me, there will be a huge number that were never reported for whatever reason. So I don't know what the breakdown is between vehicle collision and the numbers taken by hunters. I don't even know if you could find it. You probably could if you dig deep enough. But anyway, it's a huge number.
If we have anybody available on your crack research department, maybe we could put them on that. Find out.
Well, we could, but the problem we have in Canada, from what I've seen as compared to the United States, is we have bits and pieces of information by province. I mean, I've searched stuff for bear hunt, deer hunt, moose hunt, and everybody counts a little differently. It seems like in the U.S., maybe for reasons unknown to us, they roll up their data, and it's easier to get U.S. data than it is to get data in Ontario or throughout Canada. Just not as easy.
All right.
I want to talk to you for a minute about coaster brook trout. Oh. Are you good on that?
Well, I threw a perfect lob ball to you. You could have hit it out of the park, but you dropped it, but that's fine. I'll talk about anything you want.
It was outside, and it was low.
Oh, bull. It was right across the plate, and it was knee high, and you could have smacked that baby right out of the park, but you didn't even look at it. I froze you. Go ahead, buddy.
Brook trout. I love brook trout. You know that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So at Nays Provincial Park, which is just a gorgeous site on Lake Superior, it's about 30 minutes from Marathon in the northwestern part of the province. And they've got some folks that work in that park, and they're catching, releasing, but they tag brook trout. And they're tagging them from 10 to 22 inches. They've got about 250 with tags. And I love this story because it's a form of recreation, but it's also contributing to our knowledge about coastal brook trout in that part of the province. And coastal brook trout are pretty sensitive. I mean, we almost lost them at one point. And this is a genetically unique strain of brook trout. They live 8 to 10 years. Our southern brook trout usually only live to about 6. These are those world-class brook trout that we see coming out of, you know, the Nipigon Peninsula and so on. So anyway, they tag these fish, and when people catch them, they return either the tag or the information from the tag about the travel and whereabouts of these fish, and so we're learning a lot more about that fragile fishery, and we'll probably learn what's the most important habitat for them within that part of Lake Superior. So I think that's a pretty cool project. Kudos to the folks up there.
Oh, and they're a fantastic fish, by the way, for folks listening that have never done battle with a coaster. Holy mackerel. They are outstanding. Crazy fish. All right. That's it for you, buddy. I'm going to kick you out of here now. I know you got all kinds of other things, but you missed that one beautiful pitch, and I ain't going to give you any more. That's it for you.
Strike.
You're back on the bench.
Okay. Well, you guys have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, and I'll take another cut, see how that goes.
All right, brother. You take care. John Winters, retired park superintendent in Algonquin Park. Now, producer of this very program.
Yes.
And not a very good baseball player, evidently. Evidently.